If they return to their seats and invite all of you to stand for the reading of the gospel. Holy gospel for this day comes from Luke chapter 15 verses 1 through 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, you have given us your grace and accepted us even when we did not deserve it. But help us this day to remember, to receive that grace, to be charged up by it, and Lord, in your power, to bring that message of grace and forgiveness to those around us who need to hear it as well. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sermon today is based actually off of the epistle reading rather than the gospel we just read. So I want to go back and read just a few verses from that, including verse 5, which was actually not in the reading you saw. But these verses are our focus for today. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. This is our text. So my youngest son, Evan, has discovered batteries. Batteries go in flashlights. Batteries go in trains, and batteries do wonderful things when you turn them on and let them run. But if you forget to turn them off again, very quickly the batteries run down and you're left with no charge. And so we've taken to moving the batteries into different places and hiding them in the house so that we'll actually have a few of them left. Paul says in verse 5 that we have been given a charge by God. Now, the sense that he uses that word charge is that of a strict military term. We are given an order, a charge to take his message of forgiveness and grace out to the world that doesn't know it. The aim of this charge is love, he says, that the whole world will know his love. And yet you can't carry out that charge if you're feeling run down. So I'm sort of playing around with words here. Pastors are given to bad puns. But my idea here is that you can't carry out that charge if you're feeling drained. You need to be recharged by the power of the gospel in order to carry that charge out. So in order to be recharged, we need to keep three different things in mind. First is this: we need to recognize sin for what it is. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In the verses just prior to our reading today, he writes that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, which means that we use the law to help us to recognize our sin, to recognize that we all have sinned, that we've all sinned, to lead us to repentance, to lead us to turn away from those things and to turn back to God. Not to use the law to create guilt and shame, to make us feel beat up and worthless, but to be reminded of how we're living out of step with the way that God has designed for us to live, to call us to turn back to Him and to live in line with His word and His purpose. And so then Paul gives this list in 1 Timothy of various sins that people commit. He's roughly following along with the Ten Commandments. He's also kind of speaking into the culture in which he's living and into which he's writing. The unholy, the profane, those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. It's kind of a tough list. I think, at least for me, probably for all of us, coming out of our culture and context, we hear Paul and his list. We hear some of those things. We think, well surely not all of those go together. I mean, Paul is equating those who are murderers and commit homosexuality and enslavers with those who lie and just sort of mistreat their parents. Surely not, right? Surely not all these things go together. And yet that's precisely Paul's point here, is that all of these things are sin. All of these things are living out of step, out of line with God's purpose and plan for His people. All of these things put us in need of God's grace. See, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Recognize sin for what it is. There's no first tier, second tier. All of these things put us out of harmony with God. See, Paul had grappled with his own sin. Paul says in our reading here that Christ came to save sinners, of whom He is the foremost. So there are places He is the chief of sinners. Now, not that Paul had committed all of these sins, but he committed enough. He was familiar enough with his own sin to recognize that he had sinned so deeply that he needed God's grace, that he had sinned so deeply, so aware of his own sin, that he could call himself the chief of sinners. He is the foremost. He knew he had nothing that made him worthy to stand before God on his own. He needed God's grace. Well, that brings us to the second point for us, is that we should recognize grace for what it is. When you recognize your sin for what it is, when you recognize how completely you've sinned, you know that you cannot make up for it yourself. You need God's grace. Well, what is that grace? I want you to, for a moment, to imagine the worst possible person that you can. Now, maybe it's someone who has hurt you very deeply and you're still sort of grieving the pain that they've caused. Maybe it's some notorious figure from history, like Hitler. Today's 15th anniversary of 9/11. Maybe you remember those terrorists who were piloting the planes that caused such destruction. Whoever it is, think of that person who is so awful, whom we would think of as so far away from God. And then think about this. What if at the moment of their death, just before they died, they were to repent and turn back to God and ask for His forgiveness and grace? Now, no chance to go back and make amends for the things that they've done wrong. No chance, too late to pull up on the yoke and steer away from those buildings and avert disaster. The instant before they were to die, they repent and they call out to God for His grace. Do you understand that in that moment, God would forgive them completely and welcome them with open arms into heaven? That's grace. And sometimes when we hear that, when we think about those awful people, we think, surely not. I mean, these people are so awful, so terrible. Surely God couldn't accept them without them having some chance to make up for what they've done. But if you think that, if you believe that, that's not really grace. Grace is God's undeserved love. Grace is His acceptance and forgiveness that comes to us completely apart from whatever it is that we have done. Nothing we can do can earn that grace for us. It's undeserved love. And that's what it means to really recognize the full character of God's grace. You recognize your sin. You recognize how much you have sinned against God. There is nothing in you that deserves God's love. And yet, because of Jesus Christ, God still loves you. And he cares for you, and he accepts you, and he welcomes you in with open arms. That's grace. You see, that's really good news, because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have our own stuff. All of us have things that we wish we could hide. We wish we could forget. We wish we could go back and undo. And we can't. And there are times when the weight of that sin comes crashing down on us and we feel worthless. But the message of grace means that you don't have to hide those things. You don't have to cover up. You don't have to fix yourself before you come to God. You come as you are in the midst of all of your stuff, all of your brokenness, all of your sin, all of your shame and your regret, and God stands there with open arms and he welcomes you in. And you get to come into a place like this. And you don't have to keep up this mask that says, I've got it all together. I'm a pretty good person, better than that guy over there. You get to come in with all your stuff, with all of that brokenness. On your worst days, you get to come in here and know that you're among friends. Because you're among people who also recognize their sin and their stuff and their guilt and their shame. You don't have to keep up that mask. But you're here with people who have been accepted by God by his grace and who are willing to accept you in his grace as well. That brings me to a third point. We should recognize God's purpose for what it is. Paul says this, "But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." God's purpose is to seek and to save the lost. His purpose is to bring sinners to repentance and new life through Jesus Christ. His purpose for us is that we would be examples of that grace, that we would be messengers of his love and his forgiveness to people who are still far apart from him and who need to hear that grace. That's his purpose. He shared his grace with us. He's made us examples of his love, and now he sends us out to bring that message to others. And yet all too often, that's not our response, is it? I mean, just think about some of the big political issues going on in our day and our typical response. Just think about your heart response as I name some of these things. Black Lives Matter, the racial tension, the violence going on in our society. Think about the issues of abortion. Think about all the different issues of human sexuality that are being debated in our country right now. Think about the international refugee crisis and the ongoing struggle with ISIS that's going on in the world. What's your first response to that? Is your first response, those are bad, terrible, awful people, and they're doing horrible things? And we need to define what's right and wrong, and we need to do things that are going to protect us and our way of life? Is that your heart attitude? Or do you respond by saying, these are people who are stuck in some terrible situations, and some of them have done some terrible things, but they need to hear about the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. And how can we begin to speak that message of grace into their lives and into the problems that our world faces today? How are we examples and messengers of Christ's love? What about your neighbors? What do they see when they see you? Do they see people who are examples of God's grace and love? Or do they see people who are quick to judge, quick to condemn? Or do they think of anything at all when they think of you? Are you so involved in your life that you don't even know what's going on and they don't even see you and notice what's going on? What do they see? Do they see you as an example of Christ's love and forgiveness? There's this song by Casting Crowns called Jesus, Friend of Sinners. It contains these powerful lines. Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against when we judge the wounded. What if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines, and loved like you did? Oh, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. You see, our charge is not to look down on people and to condemn them. Our charge is to see the world as Jesus sees it, a world desperately in need of his love and forgiveness, and then to bring that love and forgiveness and grace to them. That's a powerful charge. It's a difficult charge. It's a charge that's impossible to carry out when you're run down. It's impossible to carry out on your own power. The only way is to recognize our absolute need for his grace in our lives because of our sins. It's to recognize the absolutely amazing character of his grace that has covered over all of our sins. And it is to recognize that he loves us so much that he's willing to use us as his messengers to share the message that he gave up his life for us and for all people. And so today, receive his grace. Your sins are forgiven and you are loved. Be charged up by the recognition of the grace that you have so freely received. And then as you go out today, as you go back into your daily life, be examples and messengers of that grace to others. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.